Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, your one and only Ken Drew, for your weekly review edition, where I pick 2 to 4 stories that I found interesting. Hopefully you do as well. It's just me today, baby, but that's good because I have a plethora of stories to go over, and Lord knows it would be a nightmare to edit these out in real time. So this helps me out, saves me some time. It's just going to be me. It's just me and you in the microphone. So stay tuned. I got a great show for you today. We're going to go over some stories such as a mother who smokes weed. Are there stigmas with that, as a softball to begin the show? And then we'll get really intense as far as the situation with the gas prices and how Biden is still deciding to put America last. And then the Senate Democrats trying to codify Roe v. Wade. And then last but not least, we got to talk about the great state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, his victory in the courts, and also his declaration of Communism Day, which we'll get into that as well. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great show. We'll be right back. And now to sponsor myself, me. That's right. I have absolutely no money to be made off this. Just getting the word out. Now, if you've ever wondered where I get my Thinking Out Loud monologues from, well, I'm glad you asked, because they're just my articles from my Substack newsletters. Just type in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. Then you can follow me on Instagram, Getter, TikTok, and soon, Truth Social at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. Then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook. Type in Taboo Topic in the search bar. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. There's 2 episodes a week. I have a hot seat edition where I scrutinize an opinion or story, popular or unpopular. Do my research so to provoke thought. Remember, that also comes with an article on Substack, so don't forget about that on Wednesdays. Then on Friday, we go over current events where I pick 2 to 4 stories I found interesting, and hopefully you do as well. Possibly more if I have a guest, then there's a good conversation so we can cover as many bases as possible so you, the audience, have less holes to fill in understanding the truth. That's 2 episodes a week guaranteed, which you can listen to this show on any platform from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. So stay up to date and tune in. Don't forget to leave a review either. If it's less than a 5-star, let me know so I can better serve you. Here on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs your safe space, because in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. If we want to have true peace in our society, we have to be able to be honest with each other. If we can be honest with each other, then we'll have a true understanding that will lead to real peace. Amen? All right, let's get back to the show.
Do you know what we're here to talk about?
Not so much.
Not really. Do you know what drugs are? Yeah.
It's a bad thing for people to have.
Some drugs can be very bad if you don't need to take them and you do, or if you take too much of them.
They can do bad stuff when they do that. They get in fights a lot. They can go to jail.
Some of them can really hurt your body. So we have to be real careful what drugs we use and when we use them. What drugs do you know about? It's okay, you can say it.
Weed.
Have you heard of marijuana? Or what some people call weed?
No.
It's a big plant that they grow, and they roll it in like a little cigarette. A little green.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Have you ever seen people smoking?
When it was a winter time, and it was so cold.
You saw someone smoking in the winter time?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that?
That it was very cool.
You thought it was very cool?
Mm-hmm. Just like it was just so much smoke. Do you do it? No.
I do. I've actually tried it, you know, probably 4 or 5 times over the last several years, marijuana. That okay?
No.
Oh.
Why did you do it?
I wanted to feel a little different, sort of like having a glass of wine. Why do people have a glass of wine after dinner?
I don't know.
Well, you know, sometimes life gets stressful, right? Mm. Sometimes we all have a hard time. When I get up in the morning, I feel this panic sometimes, like, oh, You felt that feeling before, right? Like that nervousness. And when I smoke, it helps me calm down and be like, okay, I can think about my day and like figure it out.
How does it make you feel?
More relaxed. You just are like mellow. And you want to have some Doritos.
Sometimes it makes me hungry.
You said a plant makes you hungry. How does a plant make you hungry?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't really know why it makes you hungry.
Do I seem different when I've been smoking?
I don't think so, because you've been smoking a lot.
Hard to tell.
It makes you...
makes me what?
Trippy.
Trippy?
Like your vision trippy. Like when you wave your hand, it kills like a... It goes like an echo.
Like you see the hand like...
uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't do that. It doesn't affect my vision at all.
Is it fun?
Yeah, we had a good time. Recently, I was with a couple of friends, and we smoked a little and chatted, and we had a nice time.
You are in trouble. Tonight is good.
Absolutely not.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. And before we go any further, I gotta ask everyone the usual question. How was your week this week? Was it a good week? Meh. Let me know through the social media platforms I mentioned. As for my week, it's pretty chill. Haven't relaxed this much in a while. I actually got a vape pen in my cartridge, CBD cartridge, and I've been using that to help me sleep. Kind of giving an illusion, a foreshadow of what the first story is going to be about. But I've had it for 2 days now. In the last 2 days, I think I've slept more the last 2 days than I have probably, gosh, at least, well, this month has been in particularly bad, but at least the last almost a year now, because I moved from Florida, or excuse me, I moved from Texas to Florida last summer. Closer to the fall, around that August time frame. It's coming up. Can't believe it's been almost a year since I moved back to Florida. Time has flown by really quickly, for sure. But that's really been helpful for me to sleep, for sure. And I don't know if I'm going to keep this. We'll see, because I need to do some more research as far as the effects of just vaping in general. I've heard some negative effects long-term, how it can... manifest into something unhealthy for the individual who's a constant and consistent habitual vapor. I'm going to finish out this cartridge, and then but during that time frame, I'm just going to keep doing my research. But so far, so good. If it helps me sleep, that's the only thing I really care about. And if it turns out that vaping would be more detrimental for my health long term, then because I live in the state of Florida, I will go to a healthcare facility, and ask for a prescription. Because the VA still does not prescribe medical marijuana, despite the fact that I want to say we've officially decriminalized marijuana. Don't hold me to it. As a matter of fact, I don't think that's official yet. Take it back. It's not official yet. I know we voted on it recently. In the Senate in particular, they voted on it, and I think it got signed into law, but I'm not entirely sure when it takes effect. But hopefully, if it's taking effect soon, hopefully the VA gets on board. Normally, when it comes to the military in general, the VA, they take forever to pass that down, channel it through the system to where us regular guys actually get the benefits of this change, if you will. So, there are a lot of stigmas concerning marijuana, are there not? And that's really the first story of today. Normally, like I said, I have a guest. It's become more of a habit to have a guest on the show instead of just have me talk to you guys through a microphone. But again, I'm pretty happy, actually. I was supposed to have a guest on tonight, but she had an emergency. So prayers to her and her family and her friends. But this does release some pressure off me in the sense that, again, for editing purposes, now that I don't mind the editing, because obviously the final product, seeing that final product at the end is worth it. But when it's just me, the editing doesn't take nearly as long either. It's just because it's just me. I don't have to worry about making sure Because I like to do, you've heard this show. I mean, if you're a true loyal fan, you've heard this week of review multiple times at this point to know that I like to use audio clips from actual stories, whether it's from the source itself or a third party like NBC, ABC, whatever, Fox. And I like to use that in my clips. So whenever I have a guest on, I have to get those clips for those stories for my guests. So, you know, they don't feel left out and they get equally representation, equal opportunity. But because it's just me, hey, I don't have to do much this week. So I save some time. But there are a lot of stories I wanted to go over this week. So imagine, honestly, I was thinking maybe do three stories if I had a guest. I would sacrifice one story depending on whether or not, you know, my guest would want to cover that story. I was kind of hoping that would be the case if she did come on. But now I get to talk about all the stories I want to talk about because it's been a crazy week for current events, has it not? What a time we're living in. But because there were so many stories, I want to start off with a softball story. Because frankly, why not? Let's change the pace up. Let's throw a curveball in there. Kind of relax our minds a little bit. No pun intended to the subject at hand. But I found it interesting. I think this could stir up some good conversation in your circle, in your family and friends. But I came across this story, this first story on Facebook, and I selected a social issue concerning marijuana. There was an article where I read a Canadian mother has openly come out and admitted to smoking weed as a mother. She is known to be a momfluencer, where she openly talks about her experience as a mom on social media. And she has garnered attention in the social media world because she admits to smoking weed despite having kids. She stated that by smoking weed, this makes her a better mom. Caitlin Flagadger is a 26-year-old influencer mom from Canada who gained massive popularity online, sharing her non-traditional parenting techniques that work for her family. I wouldn't know entirely exactly what those are. I just know about this particular idiosyncrasy, if you will, this particular habit. She revealed, though, that she smokes weed to help her combat some of her anxieties and challenges in her life. And this source is literally called This Is Why I'm Single. So that's the newsletter that I read this from on Facebook. She's worn T-shirts where they brag about smoking weed. She makes the comparison where if a mom wore a T-shirt bragging about drinking wine, there'd be high fives and applause. The point of her argument is that while there's been a push to decriminalize marijuana, and I think in Canada in particular, recreational marijuana is legal now, but despite that, the stigma still exists, and a parent smoking weed is one of them. So that's really one of those reasons why I chose this as one of my stories, because I do agree with her that there is a stigma concerning smoking weed. This comes with parents too, actually, that when a parent does it, it's still frowned upon. Yet, and she points this out, when a parent drinks alcohol, which one can make as a legitimate argument is worse for your health than weed, nobody bats an eye. And it doesn't matter if the parent is smoking in front of their kids or not, drinking in front of their kids or not, no one bats an eye. But if they're smoking weed, people freak out. I do slightly disagree with her in the sense that smoking weed makes her a better mom. I don't think it's true for a parent drinking alcohol even. I think you either know how to use it responsibly and you're just a good parent, you've embraced your maternal instincts, or you don't, which deters your parenting, which from my experience with other people, it can bring out the worst in someone. I say that because, again, ultimately, this leads and boils down to your morality and values. And suggesting weed makes you a better makes you a better parent is behavior modification, when, again, it's just her embracing her maternal instincts. Weed is just a medication at that point to help her for her mental health issues, like anxiety. So, to an extent, I think she's giving weed too much credit. What do you guys think? But this definitely is fitting for the theme of the show of a parent smoking weed as they're raising their kid or children. And it sounds like she's not educating her kids, too, about this. She apparently actually has taught them how to distinguish what's a marijuana product. So, personally, I have no issue with it. She makes valid points. Again, if no one bats an eye when a parent drinks in front of their kids, and you can make the argument that alcohol is worse than weed, then I don't see the issue with a parent smoking weed in front of their kids, as long as they do it responsibly. And again, it seems as though that she is using it responsibly. And I do think that there are social stigmas that are still attached when it comes to marijuana in general, despite this new legalization push, in which I voted to legalize medical marijuana in Florida when it came into the ballot box. I want to say 2018. I think that was the year that Rob DeSantis ran for governor the first time. Yeah, because this would be 4 years since. So that was the year that Rob DeSantis became governor. I voted for him, and I also voted for amending the state constitution to allow medical marijuana, because I do see and believe that there are health benefits to this. But someone openly admitting that they do smoke weed, even for medical purposes, for some reason, people tend to be hush-hush about it. I don't know why. Now, some potheads on the show, listening on this show right now, you may be one of the few that brags about smoking weed all the time. And what's that one movie with James Franco in there? Do you guys remember? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I can't remember. Oh, Pineapple Express. That's what it is. You might be in the Pineapple Express crowd where all you do is talk about weed. But for most people, that's not something you typically talk about. Not in the same manner, anyway, when we do about getting plastered with alcohol after a night out, whether you're under 21 or not, or even under 18 even. So there's definitely a stigma. And the reason why I brought the CBD stuff in general is because I do think there is a health benefit to these products. And obviously, it's helping me sleep. My body, when I try to sleep, tends to fidget a lot. When I tend to move around a lot when I sleep. And ever since I started taking CBD and using the vape product, my body has not had the need to fidget as much. It's been easier for me to fall asleep, which is crazy. It's crazy how a certain product, a certain natural resource, can be banned when it has so much potential to help people. And listen, about 7-8 years ago, I would have been totally against all of this. I would have been judgmental towards her. But now my younger self would be horrified, my older self, that I'm even using some of these cannabis products. Granted, it doesn't have the same amount of THC content that she may be using, but listen, if it helps her, why not? It's not like she's being irresponsible. Again, it's not like she's being irresponsible about it. Why can't a parent smoke weed, whether they're around their kids or not? Who cares? Parenting is already hard enough as it is. And maybe some religious conservatives are going to be angry at me for saying all this because I am a Christian. But I am not implying to smoke marijuana for the sake of getting high and becoming impaired, losing your mind. I'm talking about using marijuana to actually, for medicine, for medical purposes. And that's why I stick with that. As long as she's using it responsibly, I don't think people should have an issue with it. I don't. I just don't see the issue. And I will say this, if alcohol is legal and it's worse for your health, then why don't we legalize recreational marijuana? Why not make it easier for people who may not even have the money to go talk to a doctor and get that medical prescribed marijuana? Think about it. Why not make it an over-the-counter drug, if you will, scenario? Why not? And some people may say, well, Kent, people will abuse it. And I agree with you. There will be always be people who abuse it. There are people, though, who use the medical marijuana and they abuse it themselves, I'm sure. Let's not pretend that doesn't exist. But so instead of actually using the healthcare system to abuse it, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, as I kind of alluded to, ultimately isn't up to the individual to decide if they're going to use it responsibly or not, medical or not. Isn't it ultimately all boiled down to that person's values and morality? Whether or not they're going to abuse the product? Just something to think about. Guys, listen, like I said, I'm not advocating here to get high just for the sake of high. I'm advocating for a product, a natural resource, where if it helps someone to actually, as she puts it, a better mom, because it helps with her, it calms her anxiety down, and so she can actually be, she can actually focus on being a good parent. And this kind of sounds like I'm contradicting myself a little bit earlier, but if it helps her a little bit, then why not? Again, I don't think she should give too much credit to weed. Again, I think it comes down to embracing her maternal instincts. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say, because she knows her weakness and she knows that her anxiety will get in the way of being a good parent, I think by actually smoking weed, it does make her a good parent, because she knows that's an area where she's working on, and she doesn't want to see, let her kids see that side of her. Her kids shouldn't have to see that side of her. She wants to protect her children. And so if it helps protect her children from seeing that side of her, because as a parent, your job is to provide security to your child or children, plural. So if it helps them provide a sense of security by smoking weed so they don't see that side of her, that insecurity of her, and that gets projected on them, then that by itself makes her a better mom. Let me know what you guys think. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now to take a short break from the show to keep my promise and bring in awareness to the situation in Afghanistan, where we have about 9,000 American citizens who were left behind as a result of the disastrous withdrawal efforts by the Biden administration last year. The elite globalist leaders, the media, and big tech may have forgotten about them and would rather focus on other manners, but the reality is we have Americans who are in harm's way because nobody wants to hold our leaders accountable. It's just too inconvenient for them. So, this is a special shout out to the families and friends who have someone they know and love stuck in that country, and also to the very ones who are stuck there. You are not forgotten, and I'll keep mentioning you until there is a report, there is a concentrated effort to bring you home, and every single one of you comes back to American soil. Please, if you fall into one of these categories, either you're the family friend that knows someone that's there and you want to let me know how we can better help you out, please reach out. Or if you're that person that just so happens to be stuck there and you happen to be listening to this episode, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me through my personal account on Instagram at Kenjin296. I repeat, Kenjin296. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296. Please, you're not forgotten. To my audience out there, don't forget to pray. Let's pray for their safety and their return home. And now, back to the show.
The controversial sale of oil and gas leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge was one of former President Donald Trump's parting shots, one that President Joe Biden tried to reverse on his first day in office through an executive order. On Tuesday, his Interior Secretary suspended the leases in response to that, saying, "My review of the Coastal Plain oil and gas leasing program has identified multiple legal deficiencies in the underlying records supporting the leases." The secretary said the previous administration had failed to properly analyze alternatives in granting their approval and promised a new environmental analysis.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, and it's just me for a weekend review edition. How's y'all's break? What'd y'all think of that first story? That was a softball, guys. That was a softball because we have a lot of stories that's happening in the United States this week that we can get very heated and fired up about. So this story, that last story, a softball. Let's just take baby steps one step at a time and we'll work our way up to firehood, to an actual fire. Seriously, we don't have to go in all gung-ho at once. At least it helped me anyway. And I kind of am glad I talked a little bit about me using cannabis products. Because again, I think there are social stigmas that needs to be broken. Excuse me. I can't talk English today. I'm sorry, guys. That's why I need guests. Guests normally help me stay in line with my English. But it is what it is. Anywho, let's get to this next story, shall we? Joe Biden has been on the news this week multiple times. He's gotten a lot of flack from conservatives. I mean, nothing new out of the ordinary, right? Whether it's calling Trump the MAGA King, which is a compliment if you ask me. However, this is not getting enough attention as of yesterday. I saw this news yesterday. Now listen, as if gas prices aren't high enough, thanks to Biden's first act as president to shut down our pipelines here in the United States, the Biden administration cancels Alaska oil and gas lease sale this week, per CBS News. The Biden administration has canceled one of the most high-profile oil or gas lease opportunities pending before the Interior Department. The decision, which halts the potential to drill for oil in over 1 million acres in Cook Inlet in Alaska, comes at a challenging political moment when gas prices are hitting painfully high new highs. In a statement shared first with CBS News, the Department of the Interior cited a lack of industry interest in leasing in the area for the decision to not move forward with the Cook Inlet lease sale. The department also halted two leases under consideration for the Gulf of Mexico region because conflicting court rulings that impacted the work on these proposed lease sales. Federal law requires the Department of the Interior to stick to a five-year leasing plan for auctioning offshore leases. The administration had until the end of the current five-year plan, set to expire at the end of this month, or next month, excuse me, to complete these lease sales. Until now, the White House has remained silent about the massive Alaska lease. However, canceling the sale would be in keeping with the political promises Joe Biden made in the name of halting global warming. But those promises have become a political challenge in the face of gas prices at the pump. They don't want to get hit by Republicans in the light of the high gas prices, one environmental advocate told CBS News. Speaking on the condition he may not be named because of the sensitivity of the topic. They're getting killed on attacks based on inflation. The most visible sign of inflation is high gas prices. The delicate political situation was evident after top environmental official showed her in an email that copied a CBS News reporter, Gina McCarthy, the White House National Climate Advisor wrote, the Cook Inlet sale was canceled. It is not proceeding. Now, first and foremost, I'm sorry if I am not speaking well tonight. Again, I apologize for that. I'm not high, actually. I haven't even been using CBD products today so far. I'm only using it for sleep, so it's not that either. Promise you that. But this comes as a report on Wednesday that the national average for regular gas hit an all-time high as of 4:40. At least the average. That's just the average. We're not even talking about the highest price we see. Just regular unleaded. On my way to the gym today, 4:50. We're at 4:50. I mean, we were already at high school levels for me when I was, you know, when I first started driving. Gas prices were like that $3.90 to $4 range when I first started driving. And that was like around 2014, 2015. But this is worse. We're at 4.50. We're getting close to $5 a gallon, something I've never seen before. Now, for environmental groups, for CBS News, the decision was welcomed. The Alaska Offshore Lease Arrangement would open drilling opportunities over a span for more than 1 million acres for 40 years or more of production. The new activity would have led to new underwater pipelines and platforms in the environmentally sensitive area. It's good for the climate, which can't handle new oil or gas development, Cupto said. It's good for Cook Inlet because offshore drilling is dangerous and disruptive. And it's good for the people of Cook Inlet, including native people who cherish the inlet in its natural state. So it's really a good thing. Now, I'll add this piece of information, but a recent CBS News poll, Biden's approval rating is at its lowest when it comes to the economy and inflation, with 69% of those surveyed disapproving of his handling of inflation. 65% of respondents say they believe the president could do more to lower gas prices. You don't say. Literally, that's literally my first reaction. You don't say. We get the idea what's happening, right? We get the idea what's happening. And I don't know. Like I said a moment ago, the highest I've seen was today when I was going to the gym, where it was at 4:50. I have driven less and less as the gas prices have increased. Thank God I don't drive a lot. Thank God the place I picked to live, everything is within 5 minutes. So even if I do drive, it's like a short drive. I don't have to worry about wasting money on gas a whole lot. And when I do drive, I'm very picky at the time of day I choose to drive, because if it's in the middle of the day, I'm going to have to use the AC unless I'm just that stubborn, which, to be fair, guys, quick pro tip. If you actually want to save money on gas, turn your AC off, especially if you live in the South. Get yourself a nice cooler and stick your head in the water for every stop sign and red light you come to. You know, keep your AC off, roll your windows down, then stick your head in the cooler. You'll be set to go. You'll be good to go. I'm totally kidding. Don't do that. But I say that as someone who's actually experienced having no AC in the car for at least up until last year. I did not have AC in my car for at least 5 straight years. No, wait. 4 out of 5. No, hold up. 5 out of 6 years. Because I had 1 year, one summer, where I did not have to use my car that didn't have AC. And I actually had another car that had a functional AC, but that car completely collapsed after 1 year. So I had to go back to my original first car that had no AC. And yes, I was that cheap to fix the car. But it prepared me for this moment, I guess. Because even today, I decided to drive to the gym with my windows down because I felt as though that's not too hot. At least by my standards, it wasn't so hot. Isn't it stupid, though, that we have to have these conversations? This is ironically the same situation we had during the Obama years, remember? And that was when Biden was at the helm of vice presidency. I wonder if they think that by not extending the lease, it'll help them with midterms. I wonder if they're that out of touch with reality. I really do. And I say this because the part of the article that talks about a lot of political pressure, they seem to acknowledge that by not doing this, it's going to hurt. I don't know what they're trying. I don't know. I think just acknowledging the reality that Republicans, when it comes to midterms, are going to keep hammering on this issue. But you would think if you're in trouble with the polls and the American people, at some point you would wake up and realize and smell the roses and think, oh, wait a minute. I should probably extend the lease and sales of this so gas prices don't get out of more control. Maybe I'll go ahead and even open up the other oil reserves and pipelines we have here at our own territory. Americans don't approve of this. Guys, I'm just over it. To be honest, I'm just over it. I stand by my statement that I've had conversations with that. I think this guy's a fraud. Especially after watching the 2000 Mules movie. I'm pretty much convinced that there was a systemic effort to change the outcome of the election through the sorry, that was a message on my phone. through the ballot box. That's another story. We're actually, foreshadowing future episode. I'm going to do a review of the 2000 Mules movie documentary. But anyways, not to get too off track. This guy has made Trump look like a superstar. Has he not? That's the silver lining of him being in charge. We have a stark contrast of putting America first for their policies, both foreign and domestic, to an administration who puts America last. And people are seeing it very clearly, who is for the American people versus who are not. You cannot screw this up. You cannot screw things up this badly unless it was on purpose. Trump. Biden. Trump literally left you a better America than your boy Obama did when Trump took office. And look at us now. We may see even higher prices for what? To save a tree? Let me tell you something. There is nothing scientific about this approach. It's purely ideologically based. You know how I know? Because I saw firsthand what they are teaching in the textbooks when I took an environmental science class this year for my first semester in college. Those textbooks had a lot of rhetoric about social justice, which last time I checked, science and social justice don't go together. Listen, I kid you not when I say that I felt as though I came across more like a scientist in those discussion posts online than a lot of my classmates. And I say that as someone who's not even into science. I don't even like science. I could care less about science. Especially when it came to issues talking about climate change, because my classmates would come up with outlandish proposals how to address the subject, such as ending all use of fossil fuels to switch to electric vehicles, without taking into account the cost of energy, how it's going to impact the economy, and the amount of resources needed, and see if we even have the resources, if it's even a feasible solution. Basic questions. I would ask basic questions, basic critical thinking skills that you would expect a scientist to do. Questions a scientist needs to answer if you're going to talk about implementing a policy. They got fully on board with this rhetoric, this propaganda. This is a crisis where there's no room for nuance whatsoever. So whenever I hear about science and climate change like this article, I don't take it seriously because I know it's based off ideology, not science. But they want to preach to me about following the science. Really? You're going to preach to me about following the science? Come on. Get out of here. I don't want to hear it. Americans are suffering. Americans are suffering, and yet we have an administration who's obtuse to the concerns of the working class. This is an administration that is for the elite who is trying to reset the global economy into this one world government. Putting America last, baby. We have so many other issues going on. And that's why this next story about the $40 billion Ukrainian package that was proposed this week but got stopped thanks to Senator Rand Paul is more infuriating. But we'll get into that story after this short break. Stay tuned.
The impact that it is having on food for the world. So when you're home thinking, what is this all about? Just think about when I was hungry, you fed me, in the Gospel of Matthew. We should all be very proud. I'll be proud that we had the opportunity when Putin decided, whatever it is he decided, to be brutal and cruel and a coward, that we were there to help. It's about democracy versus a dictatorship. Democracy must prevail. The Ukrainian people are fighting the fight for their democracy and in doing so for ours as well.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The gentleman from Maryland talked about protecting this institution or talked about this institution, but we got a $40 billion bill at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I haven't had a chance to review the bill. My staff is pouring over the pages trying to see what's in it. You want to talk about the institution? You want to talk about standing up alongside Ukraine? Why don't we actually have a debate on the floor of the People's House instead of the garbage of getting a $40 billion bill at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Not paid for, without having any idea what's really in it, with a massive slush fund that goes to the State Department, $13 billion, $8 billion for the Economic Support Fund, $110 million for embassy security. We've got $40 billion that is unpaid for, and you want to sit here and lecture this body about what we're going to do or not do about standing alongside Ukraine? Why don't we talk about the American people who are hurting, the wide open borders, the inflation that's killing people, the jobs that people can't get because of the cost of goods and services in this country? Sitting here and being lectured to when I don't even have time to look at a $40 billion unpaid bill.
My oath of office is to the U.S. Constitution, not to any foreign nation. And no matter how sympathetic the cause, my oath of office is to the national security of the United States of America. We cannot save Ukraine by dooming the U.S. economy. In March, inflation hit a 40-year high. Gasoline alone is up 48%, and energy prices are up 32% over the last year.
An unknown amount of money to the CIA in the Ukraine supplemental bill, but there's no formula for American babies and mothers. We should be paying attention to our country right now. I yield back. Thank you.
Gentlelady yields back. The gentlewoman from Minnesota Reserve, gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Here's a formula for the destruction of democracy. Repeating Putin's propaganda and disinformation and appeasing imperialist assaults on sovereign nations.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for a week in review edition. We start off with a softball, then it changes up to a four-seam fastball, and I'm going to change up to another fastball. We're going to go ahead and call this a two-seamer, because a two-seamer is like a little cut in the end, because that's what I felt like this story did. It cut through my heart as an American. But seriously, this topic, this next story is infuriating. Listen, Congress wants to pass another foreign aid package to Ukraine worth $40 billion. The House passed this week, but has been temporarily halted thanks to Rand Paul from Kentucky, Senator, stating he wants to assure the package has at least amendments that will address the economic hardships Americans are dealing with. In the House, only 57 Republicans voted against this bill, which I'll get into in just a second. But this is what the package included per Newsweek. The funding package includes a $9 billion to restock U.S. equipment sent to Ukraine and $6 billion in Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative funding, which allows the administration to buy weapons from contractors and send them to Ukraine. Other measures in the package are $900 million for refugees assistance and a further $54 million of public health and medical support for Ukrainian refugees. Now, the establishment left and right-wing media has blasted the following representatives for voting nay on the matter. And yes, I'm going to read all 57. I want everyone to know these were your heroes, your true patriots out there that voted no on this. Jody Arrington of Texas. Brian Babine of Texas. I.M. Banks of Indiana. Andy Biggs of Arizona. Gus Borekis of Florida. Dan Bishop of North Carolina. Lauren Boebert of Colorado. Ken Buck of Colorado. Tim Burchett of Tennessee. Kat Kamak of Florida. Madison Cathworth of North Carolina. Michael Cloud of Texas. Andrew Clyde of Georgia. James Comer of Kentucky. Warren Davidson of Ohio. Scott DeGerolaris of Tennessee. That's a weird name. Brian Donalds of Florida. Jeff Duncan of South Carolina. Ron Estes of Kansas. Russ Fulcher of Idaho. Matt Gaetz of Florida. Bob Gibbs of Ohio. Louis Gohmert of Texas. Bob Good of Virginia. Paul Gosar of Arizona. Merrick Graves of Louisiana. Marjorie Taylor Greene, my gal, of Georgia. Diane Harshberg of Tennessee. Vicky Hartzler of Missouri. Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma. Yvette Harrell of New Mexico. Jody Heiss of Georgia. Clace Higgins of Louisiana. Bill Huenzinga, I can't pronounce his last name, of Michigan. Ronnie Jackson of Texas. Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Jim Jordan of Ohio. Bebby Lasecco of Arizona. Billy Long of Missouri. Tracy Mann of Kansas. Thomas Macy of Kentucky. Brian Mass of Florida. Mary Miller of Illinois. Barry Moore of Alabama. Troy Nels of Texas. Ralph Norman of South Carolina. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. John Rose of Tennessee. Matthew Rosenendel of Montana. Chip Roy of Texas. Pete Sessions of Texas. Greg Subdue of Florida. Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin. Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey. Beth Van Duane of Texas. Bruce Westerman of Arkansas. And Roger Williams of Texas. Those are your 57 Congress members, your representatives, that actually decided to put America first. I'm disappointed to say that my representative was not on the list. Buchanan, you're on notice. You're on blast. Hello, my name is Ken. I live in Sarasota, Manatee County. Nice to meet you too. Anywho, we have an establishment Republican such as Crenshaw blasting Marjorie Taylor Greene on Twitter after her tweet, which I'll read her tweet first, then his response. So you think we are funding a proxy war with Russia? You think as if you speak as if Ukrainian lives should be thrown away as if they have no value, just be used and thrown away for your proxy war? How does that help Americans? How does this any of this help? And she called Dan Crenshaw out in that tweet. And then Dan replied with a simple, still going after that slot on Russia today, huh? Now, he's also retweeted a popular conservative commentator, Mark Levine, about those dissenting this passage. One, for Putin ass kickers out there who say, why don't we focus on the baby formula crisis rather than Ukraine? The baby formula problem predates the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and it's not about federal funding, but government incompetence. Damn fools. Now, note that this is emptying our own arsenal in America, and that the war has reached a stalemate. And there are articles dating back to March that state we have reached a stalemate with Ukraine and Russia. Now, my first reaction is apparently the working class, who anyone who's not in favor of the working class of this war, somehow that makes us Putin ass kickers. Quote, are we fools for not wanting the government to have different priorities when we have these issues like the baby formula shortage? What I got from people like Crenshaw, Mark Levine, and mainstream media outlets, both left and right, is shut up, you dirty peasants. That's what I got. Shut up. We don't care about your concerns. We have our own agenda to attend to. That's what I got. I don't know about you guys, but apparently we could kick rocks. And here's what's funny. They think by blasting these 57 Congress members, these representatives, that it helps their cause, that it paints these representatives in a bad light and them in a good light. This paints them in a bad light with the American people, as if we're all supporting this war. Well, let me give you a fucking reality check. You just exposed yourselves, actually. Those 57 representatives should be the norm, you cowards. You want to talk about being a damn fool? You think this serves the American people? You think Americans are in support for this war? Or have you been bought out by your puppet masters? What about you, Crenshaw? How's George Soros for you? How's he treating you? How much is he paying you? I want to know. You damn fools. You're the ones who are the damn fools in this scenario. How obtuse can you get? This is pure arrogance from the side that claims to be for the people, Republicans. No, they're only in favor for the people, the working class, when it's convenient for them. And let me ask you something, since you know so much about that situation. What do you think that's leaving us as we're emptying our own arsenal? Now, we get into some conspiracy mode. But are these puppets contributing to the taking our country down the drain on purpose for the Great Reset? The weaker America is, the better. Now, any conservative can predict this level of arrogance and obtuse and foolishness from the Democrats. But Republicans? I'm not saying I'm surprised, but at the same time, they infuriate me more than Democrats, because for years, again, they claim to be on the side of the people. They do a damn good job putting on a show when they need to. But every time push comes to shove, they cave and cower. They serve their puppet masters like Klaus Schwab or George Soros for the Great Reset, World Economic Forum. Those are the ones who they run to instead of your own people. Your own people and representatives. You think the people in your representative actually want this? How can you go against and betray your own people like this? Betray their trust. Why would you do that? Why are you fighting the American people and their concerns? Why are you fighting the interests of Americans in this? Americans don't want to be involved in this, period. Excluding the 57 representatives and some senators like Marco Rubio and Rand Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this is the real GOP we have in Congress right now. These are the same people that couldn't fix and repeal Obamacare after promising 8 years they would. And once they got in power with the White House, they didn't do anything. Oh, they got the repeal, but they didn't replace Obamacare. They didn't actually repeal it. Nothing happened. This is who is in Washington. People like Crenshaw have brought shame to our country. And I venture to go say, I think from one veteran to another, he has abused his veteran status and disgraced our community in that sense. You are supposed to serve the Constitution and the American people first, Crenshaw. Did you forget that? Did the money inflate your ego and make you forget that? You know, the Bible does say the love of money is the root of all evil. Have you become victim to that? I don't care if you served in the Navy SEAL. Believe it or not. Listen, guys, his status should not free him from accountability. It is okay to be critical. And again, I say that as a veteran myself. I don't care if you criticize me for my shows and my beliefs. Go ahead. I'm not attacking his service by any means either. But I don't care about his service when he's passing and contributing to the downfall of the country as a Congress member. Why should you care? It has no relevance. As veterans, while we served, we were taught to put those two things together first. Constitution and Americans, period. Does this actually serve the American people? Does this actually serve the Constitution? Rand Paul actually spoke about the Constitution. He actually stated the Constitution and reminded the senators that's our main purpose. That is exactly where our priority should be, not to foreign countries, but our priority should be to the American people. And he never served, Crenshaw. Isn't that embarrassing? You have abused your status. And other major Republicans in general have abused they've abused their trust. Do you think this is going to help you with the midterms? Thank God it's primary season. There's some Republicans out there, conservatives, who say we shouldn't be fighting. But this is primary season, damn it! Let's have it. Let's have it now before November. I'm not interested in having a majority if we're going to have rhinos for majority, aka Republican Democrats in disguise using a Republican name. That's a rhino. So we're going to have a fight. Let's have a fight now. This is primary season. This is the time to have it. In the words of Jordan Peterson, I understand this quote was used for the purposes of romantic relations, but this could be applied for any situation, I think, like this one. It's better to have the fight now and work towards real peace than to sweep things under the rug and have a fake peace. When we get into the midterms, I want to have a genuine sense of peace. That's what I want. I want a sense of peace, genuine, real peace. Going into the midterm elections, knowing the representatives I'm voting for, which Buchanan, you lost my vote. I'm done with you. I have no interest in voting for you. I don't care if you're a Republican by name. You're out. And everyone should have that mindset too, especially if you're conservative. And for some, it may be difficult because there may not be many options in your district to choose from. But if there are senators or representatives that are challenging the incumbents, challenging the status quo from the GOP, challenging these rhinos to get out of office, do yourself a favor and America a favor. Get them in office. Get those rhinos out. Let's get them out, shall we? Now's the time. Primary season, baby. Now's the time. If we're going to have a majority, let's have peace in knowing the majority we have by the end of this year is the people we can trust to put Americans first, at least. Can we do that? Is that too much to ask? Honestly. Speaking of midterms, and the whole and how the Democrats are in trouble. They think this hill on abortion, Roe v. Wade, is a hill worth dying on as they try to pass codifying Roe v. Wade, which I'll get into after this short break. So, stay tuned.
Twists, no turns. It went nearly straight down party lines.
The motion is not agreed to.
The Senate blocked debate on a measure writing some federal abortion rights into law with all Republicans.
Their extreme proposal goes way, way beyond codifying the status quo.
And West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin opposing.
We should not be dividing this country further than we're already divided.
Vice President Kamala Harris presided over the vote.
And this vote clearly suggests that the Senate is not where the majority of Americans are on this issue.
Inside, House Democrats crossed the Capitol chanting.
My decision! My vote!
And outside. So what do you do next?
Well, next we just start campaigning like crazy.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Week in Review edition. What do you think of the show so far, guys? Let me know through your social media platforms. And actually, before I go on any further, I want to remind you guys to please share, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, no matter what platform you listen to this podcast from. Please share this with your friends and family members. The more people listen to this, the more hear the word, hear the truth, and honest perspectives, right? That's the whole premise of the show, is to have honest perspectives and opinions, which unfortunately we do not have enough of that, at least in DC. We have a lot of people that are out of touch with reality. And we'll go to this story. Oh, the Democrats. Now that I think about it, yeah. That last segment, I honestly want to keep going with that, but I would just be talking in circles at that point. So anyways, let's continue. So listen, the Democrats this week, because they have learned that out through the leak that Roe v. Wade is set to be overturned this summer, they are trying to quote unquote codify Roe v. Wade. And so the Democrats decided to go ahead and create legislation to codify Roe v. Wade and allow abortion up until the moment of birth. So you could be one day away from giving birth. And they want to make that legal. It failed in the Senate. All Republicans voted no. They had a spine for once. They all voted no. And Joe Manchin sided with Republicans as well in this. And he stated, this does not codify Roe v. Wade. Something along those lines. And you want to talk about kind of going with the theme of the last story as far as just being out of touch with reality, out of touch with the American people. They genuinely believe that this is a winning cause. I mean, this is a Hail Mary attempt at this point. They hope this issue of abortion will galvanize voters to vote against Republicans despite all the other problems that we are seeing right now, whether it's inflation, energy prices, our security down at the border and also across seas. No country's taking us seriously, etc. I think that the Democrats, in this case, I think it's going to hurt them even more. As a matter of fact, there are polls. A CNN poll just showed that Democrats have actually become even less popular and Republicans have become even more popular when it comes to the topic of abortion. Now, I know there's a poll out there that states that 70% of Americans do not want Roe v. Wade, but out of that 70%, those people believe that if Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, abortion would be banned nationwide. But that's not the case. It would just be given back to the states to decide for themselves whether or not they want to ban it, restrict it, or have absolute abortion on demand, basically. Whether it's like states like Illinois, California, New York, I think Virginia tried to pass one. Something similar. They're all going to, those people are going to have those abortion laws. No one's going to take that right away to have an abortion. And I say that loosely because I don't think it's a right personally. Which, by the way, I talked about why and how I came to my conclusion that I'm against abortion personally and how it affects men. Listen to the last Hot Seat edition on Wednesday, Abortion and Men. And you listen to my Substack as well. Read my Substack, not listen. But up until the moment of birth, when you ask the average American, when you look at the polls for those who support abortion access in the first trimester, that's where you get the majority of Americans. But when you break it down to second and third trimester, it drops dramatically. Second trimester, I want to say it barely cracks in the 20 percentile. And then third trimester, it's in single digits. Americans understand this is an ethical dilemma that we'll be discussing until at least in my lifetime, until the day I die. Would I love to see a constitutional amendment to ban abortion nationwide and have this understand that life begins at conception, an inalienable right to exist? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen in my lifetime? Probably not. And I think for now, the best route is to go state by state and convince people, persuade people that abortion is murder and barbaric. But they really think this is a winning cause. And so they went ahead and tried to pass this legislation. But as usual, just like every other policy ever since they got in power, it's going to backfire them. I have no doubt about that. It's going to backfire. Imagine being so depraved, your moral compass so broken, that you believe that a child should at least have the death penalty, if you will, up until the moment of birth. The woman, the mother, should have the right to kill her own child up until the moment of birth. How depraved of a soul do you have to be in order to believe that? In order to believe that that's a winning cause, a hill worth dying on? You know how many pro-choices I've talked to this week on social media that don't even think that the unborn is a human? They don't think a unborn child can even feel the pain in the first trimester, which is where the majority of abortions take place. Don't quote me on that, by the way. I don't remember off the top of my head. But how depraved of a mind do you have to be? How brainwashed do you have to believe that's not a human being? To where you're even denying the science when a heartbeat is fully developed. When a heart is fully developed and it creates that first heartbeat, that first pulse. I had people literally tell me the heart doesn't get developed until like the 7 to 9 week range. And I told them, it's literally one search engine search away. One search away, no matter what search engine you use, whether it's Brave, DuckDuckGo, or Google. Even on YouTube, to know the heart begins to develop around that 2 to 3 week range and then gets fully developed 5 to 6 weeks. But you're going to tell me, it's not a human and lifeless. In the words of Donald Trump, wrong. What do you guys think? You think this is going to backfire Democrats? And let's give credit where credit is due for these Republicans in the Senate. All of them voted in favor of life for once and give credit to Joe Manchin. I know I just trashed them in the last segment. But for this one, let's give some credit where it's due. Now, I don't know how many of them in a more compromising bill, if you will, how many of them would actually vote no still. But at least they have the common sense to know that up until birth, that's... I mean, you might as well justify the purge with that thinking. Let's just go ahead and legalize the purge while you're at it. Once a year, let's legalize murdering human beings for no cause at all. Maybe you want to murder someone because they're homeless or they live in a foster home. They're suffering. Let's end their suffering and murder them. Could you imagine? I mean, that's basically what the pro-choice argument is sometimes. I have a hard time keeping a straight face with these stories sometimes, guys. I'm serious. I'm over it. All of it. Now, for the last stories, which I'll get into in the next segment, I'm going to go ahead and combine the two stories into one because they both have to do with Rob DeSantis, our governor, best governor in Florida, best governor in the United States, in this great state of Florida where I reside. And we need more Rob DeSantis in the White House, whether it's White House officials, but also Congress members as well. We need more of his personality. We need more Rob DeSantis. Am I right? Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short message.
Today, I am signing HB 395, which will officially designate November 7th as Victims of Communism Day to honor the more than 100 million people who have fallen victim to communist regimes across the world. We want to make sure that every year, folks in Florida, but particularly our students, will learn about the evils of communism.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Weekend Review Edition. And this episode is going to be a lot shorter because it's just me, so hopefully you enjoy it. Let me know if you prefer having guests on the show, by the way, or you like this more. Let me know. I'm interested. This is how I used to do it, too, before I started making connections and networking with people. And I started having more guests on the show. More so for the Weekend Review Edition, the hot seat. Still mainly me. Every now and then I'll have a guest depending on the subject matter. But when it comes to Weekend Reviews, I've personally enjoyed it more with having guests on the show. But if you enjoy it more with just me on the show, let me know. That said, if you prefer having guests, I can't promise that I'll always have guests. I'll do my best. As you've noticed, I've had guests on the show at least once a week. For the Weekly Review Editions, except this week, I was supposed to have one. Like I said, prayers to her and her friend, to that family. Someone passed away, her friend's father passed away, so prayers for them and their family. So, so it's just me tonight, and it's been fun. So let's go ahead and wrap up the show and wrap up the current events, and then we'll wrap it up, conclude. But I'm going to go ahead and and combine these two stories a little bit because they both have to do with Rob DeSantis, my governor from the state of Florida, the best governor in America. Now, if anyone's not aware, Disney filed a lawsuit for against Rob DeSantis and Republicans in Florida for voting to remove the special privileges Disney has had since the late 60s, 1960s, that pretty much allow them to govern themselves as if they're their own city. And they removed that special privilege in response to the Disney's criticism of the anti-grooming law, which the liberals and media spun it to don't say gay when that wasn't the case at all. It was literally protecting children from being taught in a formal setting from kindergarten to third grade from gender ideology and sexuality in general. So that's what the law did. Disney didn't like it, and Rob DeSantis said, all right, you want to play that game? Watch. And that's what happened. And so Rob DeSantis held a special session. And this was actually in the talks. Like, Rob DeSantis and Disney were kind of going back and forth since last year, I want to say, about whether or not to remove Disney. But I think Disney's stance on the anti-grooming law was the straw that broke the camel's back. Play woke games, win woke prizes. That's what happened. But Disney filed a lawsuit against them because they felt it was discriminatory against free speech, the First Amendment. And a federal judge actually ruled in favor of DeSantis. So that's a victory there for Rob DeSantis and the Florida Republicans. And also, Rob DeSantis this week declared that schools and teachers, in public schools anyway, there ought to be a day where we honor the memory of those who were victims of communism. So that's also being taken into effect in the state of Florida. The deaths that have occurred with every communist regime. Those are really the last two stories combined in one. And I wanted to talk about it because, like I said, this is my state. This is the state I reside in. And it's a more positive note, I think. Because while we see a lot of these idiots running the show right now in D.C., we have a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. There are still good people out there. We got 57 representatives. We got some senators in D.C. They're still looking out for us, actually hearing us out. We also have some governors and just public figures in general that are doing good work. And Rob DeSantis is one of them. I think he's running 2028. Let Trump run this one. But I have noticed they're not really hitting Rob DeSantis. They're more or less hitting Trump. It almost seems as though they're actually more afraid of Rob DeSantis than Donald Trump, because they know Rob DeSantis can handle the media better than Trump can. But that's beside the point. But it's about time that we had, first and foremost, let's go to the Disney situation. It's about time we had someone stand up to a corporation like Disney who has lost their way and forgotten who helped them become popular, if you will, who helped them get to this point of who was their biggest supporters, parents, by breaking the social contract and injecting indoctrination of sexual orientation, LGBTQ stuff, and transgenderism, whatever, and gender ideology through the entertainment system. About time someone stood up to that. And then Rob DeSantis addressed an issue that I've been feeling strongly about, that I feel as though conservatives don't hit hard enough when it comes to communism or just Marxism in general. I think that most conservatives, when they talk about anything Marxist related, they tend to gloss over or don't even bother mentioning at least the heinous ideology that comes with Marxism, as far as the genocide that takes place, the racism, bigotry. And this declaration actually, and this law that's going to be put and still in public schools in Florida, now students will actually get a full picture of what Marxism actually does to people, what it does to a society. Finally, it's about damn time. I made an episode last year, actually, You can look it up. It's called Karl Marx and his heinous ideology. Something along those lines. I don't remember the exact name, but I read off some quotes from him. One of those quotes, including the need for the weaker classes to be extinguished in a concentration or a Holocaust, something along those lines. Some anti-Semitism against Jews, obviously. Racist towards blacks. And it's weird because when I went to Germany, for example, you know, Europe, they tend to be more liberal, of course. But I find it ironic that they still have statues of Karl Marx as if his ideology is worth celebrating. And they said in the description that people in the 20th century misconstrued his words. But when you look at the pattern of these other countries in the 21st century, like China, for example, and its concentration camps, almost every communist or Marxist regime in general, if it was really taken out of context, then why does the pattern exist of concentration camps existing and deaths and large masses, genocides taking place? You know, people say capitalism is the number one killer in people, in societies. But the thing is, they don't realize, or they do, is they conflate in the sense that if you add up all the numbers that capitalism has existed, of course, the number is going to be larger than if you compare it to a Marxist regime. But every time Marxism is instilled in a society at a large, like fully installed through from the government to the culture, once that implemented, the ratio and the direct deaths correlated in that system doesn't even compare to capitalism. And so I'm glad we have a governor, we have a politician who's not really a politician, who's a politician that's putting the interests of America first and remembering where he came from and what he fought for when he was in the military. Let me do a stark contrast between Rob DeSantis and Dan Crenshaw. One has completely abused his status, and the other one hasn't. As a matter of fact, if anything, people bring up the fact that he's a veteran. I think Dan Crenshaw has brought up more times the fact that he's a veteran than Rob DeSantis has in the last 4 years of governorship. And Dan Crenshaw has been in public figure since what? During the Trump years? Before Rob DeSantis even became governor? Or maybe it was about the same time. I don't remember exactly. Don't hold me to that. But you want someone that's actually going to stick up for you and actually live up to the Constitution, put the Constitution and the American people first. That's the kind of guy you want. Rob DeSantis is the kind of politician we should be wanting in Congress. Period. He's the kind of guy we want in D.C. Now, if it were between him and Trump, I would vote DeSantis in a heartbeat. Because, like I said, I think he handles the media a lot better than Trump does. But what does that say about all these other Republicans? If you ask me, it shows that it just means they don't have a spine. That's what it is. He's the first Republican that actually has a spine and is trying to be on the right side of God. Really, guys, that's really the premise of the theme of today's show. If I want to conclude of anything, especially if you're a Christian out there listening to this, who would you rather answer to? Do you want to answer to God on Judgment Day, or would you rather answer to people here on earth? Why he chose to not support these causes? Why he chose to grow a spine? If God is for you or with or for us, then who could be against? Then what stands against us? Honestly. Folks, that's my show. Stay tuned. We'll be back to close things out. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. Thanks again for tuning in to today's show, guys. Please hit the share button. Share this with your friends and family members. Share this on your social media posts. Also, subscribe to the show no matter what platform you listen to this podcast from. I would appreciate it. Help the channel, help the show grow. We've seen our numbers dwindle a little bit, but we still have much bigger numbers than when I first started off, which I'm still incredibly humbled. That the fact that you guys even tune in and take your time of the day to listen to what I have to say, my rants, it's truly an honor. I appreciate it. And with that said, folks, y'all have a blessed weekend. God bless.